And this evening, I just have a couple thoughts, and I promised Diane that I wasn't going to get in-depth too much. I'm just going to try to relax through this and bring a couple points that I've thought and saw and felt important for some of the things we've mentioned in the announcements this evening, and that's some of God's promises and how we can help ourselves through life, and that the God's promises give us a lease on life in and through that help us as we live our days and the length of time we spend here on earth. And we find in Job, the 14th chapter, the first verse, and it says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringeth me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish and as an hireling his day." And basically, I think Brother Mark was showing some pictures of Earl and tonight. And, you know, I think if any of you have children, most of you have had children here, when they are first born and you look at that little child and you look at those little teeny fingers and how perfect they are, and you see the little fingernails and the eyelashes and the hair and stuff, and you say, how perfect. And that's what it says here. A child is born and is as a flower, a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. The slate is clean on a newborn child. He's not sinned at that point. He's perfect, other than he might have some physical imperfection if there's birth defects and so forth. But on the whole, most people, most of these children are perfect. The unfortunate thing is that that child is born of sin. And it doesn't take long before they become contaminated. The sin that is inherent in human nature begins to contaminate them, and they start to sin, and the sins begin to pile up. And we find in Psalms 58:3, you don't need to turn there, it says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." And we've heard preachers preach that for years. So it doesn't take long, and they start telling you that, "I need you," and they really, there's nothing wrong, but they will tell you that they need you, and they'll start crying and so forth. And then as they progress through life, we find that children begin to seek out their place in life at age 2, and they'll get into the terrible 2s, and they will start to exert their personality, comes to the surface, and they'll start reaching out to take power wherein they can, and they will start to do many things that are very distasteful, but yet parents find it difficult to discipline these children at that age. If they don't understand, they don't understand. Well, they may not understand, but they understand one thing: as long as they can control you and they can get control of a portion of your household, that enables them to become more powerful as time goes on. And many of this, and the problem that we have is as they continue to mature through life, when they come into their teenage years, all the power that they accumulate through these formative years as children, and they've taken away from you, sequestered, because may not like to discipline, and I'm not saying anybody here is subject to that, but in our society in general, today we have no discipline. Our schools are in chaos because there is no discipline in the schools. Our politicians will not allow us to discipline our children. You cannot do corporal punishment. You will end up in jail. And we find that that continues on. But I wanted to just some of the natural inherent traits that youngsters at age 2 do. They begin to scream a little bit more. They start to cry when they're upset. They sulk when they're mad. They don't get their way. They throw tantrums and become basically obnoxious. And yet, people, because we're distracted by the busyness of life and so forth, don't try to control that, or may not try to control it as we should. In verse 4, Job noted the contamination of sin continues to mount up us until the days we die. All of these sins drive a wedge between God and mankind unless God intervenes in a salvation plan. As we read in verse 4, it says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Not one of us can go back and clean the slate back to the day we were born. It continues to get dirtier and dirtier. The burden of sin for those of us who are saved here, and that's probably the majority, until the day we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin debt, the burden that we carried, continued to mount and mount and mount. And when we heard the gospel word and the words that the Bible spoke against sin and so forth, we became burdened with that, or conscious of that burden and what the consequences was for it. Because sin, unchecked and unpaid for, brings death to the soul in eternity. That's the second death. But what we're talking about this evening, and would like to focus on this evening, is the first death, or postponing death as far as we can into the future. Now you say, well, God knows those numbers, and truly it says here in verse 5, Job understood that, and let's read again, "Seeing his days are determined, the numbers of his months are with thee," and he's talking to the Lord, "thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." God has set the boundaries for which each one of us will come to but not exceed or go past. And there's nothing we can do about that as far as in God's sight. Can that be changed? Can we postpone that boundary, or can God set that boundary off? He has authority to do anything in this world that he wants. He can take our lives if he wills. He can give us life and postpone our death indefinitely if he wanted to. If we look back in the early stages of the Bible, Methuselah lived 900 years. We live, if we're lucky, 90 years today. In time, sin has encroached upon our society and taken its toll away from us, to where there's many things that we do to destroy our health and shorten our lifespan simply by what we do as individuals and the choices we make in life. And so we find that a lot of the things that will shorten our life is because of decisions we made when we were young, and we developed habits that were not good for our bodies and contaminated physically, or actually contaminated our lungs, our heart, our blood supply, and so forth, and deteriorated our health until a point where we die. And we die an early death because of that. But that's not even the death I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and God knows all about that. Some people are built with better genes and they can live longer. Some people have poor genes and might have a heart condition in the family that goes from generation to generation and so forth. But we know that really our days are numbered by the Lord, and we have no control of them. I've heard of people who tried to commit suicide, and all they did is a successful job of destroying their quality of life, but didn't kill themselves. Many people try to commit suicide, but it doesn't work. They get to that. Somebody gets them to the hospital, and they're saved. We don't really have control. I'm not saying that some people aren't successful, but I believe those are people whose days were appointed unto them. So we want to look in Job 12, 9 and 10, makes a point here that I think is worth noting. Job 12, 9 and 10, it said, "Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought with us, and whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Each one of us, you know, we his eye is on the sparrow. You know, his eye is on us all the time, and he has accounted for our days. I have a couple questions that I want to deal with this evening, and one of those questions is, the first one is there anything parents can do to affect the number of days or the quality of life for their children that they will experience here on earth? And then number two is, can we as individuals do anything that will affect the length of time we have on this earth? And these are the questions we'll focus on this evening. I'd like to have you turn over to 2 Samuel And let's see here if I can. I have it noted here, so that was one that slipped away on me, though. We're going to 2 Samuel 12, the 12th chapter. And this is the chapter that deals with David and Bathsheba, and I find myself going to be back to this from time to time because there's so much to be learned from this that we read over and say, oh, David, look what David did. And David did a terrible thing here. You know, David had taken everything God had given him to empower him to be king over Israel. He had taken the palaces of others. God had given him the wives of the people that he had taken over. He had given him wealth beyond and power beyond his wildest dreams, and yet he owned so much stuff, but yet he didn't own Bathsheba. And as he looked over his roof line and he saw Bathsheba bathing down on the lower roof, he brought one of his servants in and says, go over and get that lady and bring her to me. And because of the power, and I can imagine that his power was imposed upon her, he slept with her and she became pregnant, as we all know the story. And it was a blatant usurp of authority that did this. And because of the lust of the flesh, he wanted to own even more than God had given him. Bathsheba wasn't his to own. He was her king, but he was not her husband. And so as he did this and she became pregnant with child, then he gets upset, nervous, because Uriah, her husband, will come home and find out. So he sends him to the front lines and tells his general. So he conspired with people. He brought other people into the sin because of his power. And it was advertised throughout all of Israel what he was doing. Everybody knew it. And he usurped his authority, very much like our politicians today are over extending their power beyond what they're supposed to be. But he did it, and then he sent Uriah to the front and pulled back his forces so Uriah would surely be killed. So he murdered Uriah. So he had two major sins. Two of the biggies in the Ten Commandments. These are the biggest. Nobody gets away with these. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're saved. You're not going to get away with these things. And so we find that in the as we go down through there, Nathan comes to David and tells him the story about the man who stole a poor man's sheep. He had many, many hundreds and thousands of sheep himself, but he stole another man's sheep. And David got all upset and says, we'll bring that guy in and we'll kill him. And Nathan said, you are the man. And David understood, and he repented at that point in time. And as we read in 13th verse of the 12th chapter of David, and I've went through this, but there's a few verses I'm going to point out here. In the 13th verse of the 12th chapter, it says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, or forgiven it. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So we do see that parents can have an influence on the length of the days their children will have in this earth. We find that David had asked for forgiveness, and a lot of people think today, well, I'm going to just set the word of God aside, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I'll get back to him sooner or later. I'll get back to the Lord, and he'll be all forgiving. The unfortunate consequence of that is that there are consequences for what we do. Even if God forgives us, he sets into place a snowball rolling down the hill that builds volume and momentum as it goes, and the consequences will play out later on. And as we go on down to the later on in this verse, chapter, it says where David was, the child was born, and the child was very sick. And in the 18th verse, what Uriah had prophesied to David came to pass, and it said, and he came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. That child only got 7 days on this earth because of what his father and mother did. So we do as parents have an influence on our children's lives. And I, you know, I have to reflect. I have reflected for many years on the loss of my son and the traumas that my family's had. And I have reflected to say, I know I've sinned. I know I've rebelled against God's word at times. And I can't say that I'm not responsible for some of the things that's happened to my family. I'm ready to admit this, Lana. It's something that's hard to admit. Because in direct rebellion to God's word, there's a consequence to pay. And that goes, you don't know about these things, but I want to bring a verse of scripture to you in Luke 12:47, that, and this is by way of just thoughts that I had, and the Lord brought them to me, and I pray about them, I think about them, and there, I'll tell you, there's sins I committed when I was a child that the Lord will come by me one day, and he'll just flash a memory past me, and I'll say, I have to get down on my knees and say, God, forgive me for what I've done. I influence people. I know that those sins may have set somebody aside, and they said, there is a hypocrite right there. And it sickens me to think, in my youth, of the things that I rebelled against the Lord in. And those things, he's not going to make me accountable in heaven. I'm a born-again child of God. Those sins are put off. But the memories and the thoughts of them are not put off. The regret over what they did, and I know that's why I'm saved today, because God brings them back to me, and I regret them. Many people love what they did in the past. They love to talk about it. Let's talk about what I used to do. And I find it difficult to engage in a conversation of degradation and sin in my life in the past. It's difficult for me to do that. It is not pleasing at all. But I know it's there because God reminds me, and that's part of the punishment I believe that he puts on us as we journey through our lives here. He brings those back to us on occasion and said, do you recall what you did here? And that keeps me close to the Lord, because I don't ever want to do them again. I never want to do those things again. And in Luke, the 12th chapter, we're going to read the 47th and the 48th. These are words from Jesus, and it's talking about servants who rebel and so forth. Well, let's go back and read the 45th verse, and it's a little bit of a story. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the menservants and maidservants, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Isn't that what some of our, people do? The Lord's not coming back. I've heard that for 25, 30 years. He's not coming back. I got time to revel in this world's, the lust of the flesh and the world's joys. I got time. I'll get there. I'll get back just in time before he comes. And they eat and drink and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now remember, this is his servant. Now he's talking about his servants. This is somebody who has a relationship and is owned by a master. And I think this is a parable somewhat of Jesus and his people and how these people serve him. And he says, so remember, there's a relationship here, and that the servant which knew his Lord will and prepare not for himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that kneweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, and this is the part that Lord has blessed me tremendously. Blessed me to be a member of this church since day one. Now, I wasn't really a member because I wasn't saved when I first joined. I was about 8 years old, but I was saved when I was 15. And he's given me so much. Every one of us that is born again, he's given us so much. And yet we rebel against him. And then it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. So we find here that for those of us who are born again Christians, God has given us so much. There are others here who God has given more talents. You remember the story of the talents. The one who had five doubled it. The one who had two doubled it. The one who had one did nothing with it. He was taken away from him, give it to the one that had ten, that had five, or whatever. So we find that he required much. It was the same amount for their ability to deal with that much talent. The thing is, the one that didn't do anything with it didn't get to keep it either. It was given to somebody else. But whom much is given, much is required. So we have to live to a higher standard. Now, if we're born-again Christians, a lot of people are born-again Christians, but they're not in a sound church. They're not in the bride of Christ. Are they expected to live up to a standard that those who are of a church that is claims to be the bride of Christ, a Baptist, a New Testament Baptist church, set up with authority? They don't live up to that because they don't have a knowledge of it. God's not allowed them to be in that. But those who are members of a church like that are expected to behave like it and not believe like those who don't have that gift. So to whom much is given, much is required. And when we don't live up to that standard, there's a consequence for that. And in David's case, he lost his son. He was the powerful leader of Israel, and what he did brought condemnation on it, and God says, you will pay for this in the loss of your son. Now, God did bless him, and Solomon was born of him and Bathsheba's marriage. And so Solomon was a great man of God. And if you ever read the book of Solomon, it's the story of Christ and his church. A great love affair was written by Solomon about that great entity and that relationship with God and his church. But you might say, but is there any good news? Sure, there's good news. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. We're going back into the days of the law. Now you say, Brother Larry, you're going back into Deuteronomy. Now you're looking back in the Old Testament. You're talking about the law and so forth. You know, that isn't relevant today. We'll get to the New Testament here in just a minute. But the thing is, God's laws, we understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we not? So the laws that he set in place, the fundamental Ten Commandments he set in place in Deuteronomy, are as true today as they ever were. However, we disregard them at a greater level than we ever have before. We're saying good is bad and bad is good. We can kill our young in the womb. And we say, that's good. Those few people, you right-wing extremists now, you're not letting a woman have her choice. That's bad. Isn't that the way it goes? That's just one example. We can kill those children, but yet we let the evil people out of prison and the terrorists go and infiltrate our society to destroy our society if they possibly can. That's good. But destroying our babies and the right to do that is good. And letting the terrorists go is good. So it doesn't make any sense. You can't kill your dog, but you can kill your kid. I shoot my dog, and they're going to come and put me in jail for at least a couple days until I can get bail up. And then I got to go to trial and defend myself. Why'd you kill that poor defenseless little dog? I said, it's a dog. It's my dog. And I didn't like doing what he did, so I put him away. But that isn't good enough. He could even have some cancer. But you got to go down and give him an injection. Be kind to him when you put him away. That 22 just, he don't know nothing happened to him. He's just out of it. He's gone. I did it the most, because when he's sitting there and you're holding his head like this and you're getting ready to put that in, I'm afraid, what's he doing to me? Well, let's just go to sleep here now. But see, we can't do that. We'll put us in jail if we kill our dog with a gun. It's crazy out there. But anyway, let's get on with this. Deuteronomy 6 and the first verse, reading in the first verse. Now, thinking back about this, God has just given the children, you know why the Ten Commandments, I've been reading this and I finally come to the conclusion, you know why God gave the children Ten Commandments and all the other diverse commandments in the 25th, where he went in and gave them all their dietary and their sanitary laws, you know why that happened? Because they were in total rebellion for 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness. You know why they wandered in the wilderness? Because they were in rebellion when he said, enter into the land that I've given you. And they said, no, we're not going in there. There's people too big over there. We can't conquer them. Okay, well, just wander in the wilderness for 40. There was a penalty there, wasn't it? Consequence. So all the time, when Moses was on, does anybody remember when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments? What was the children of Israel doing down there? Collecting gold to do what with? To make idols. They were going into idolatry as Moses was on the mountain. He just left them alone for a little while and they couldn't behave themselves. So what Moses, let's strike some commandments here. Let's do the fundamentals. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy... Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not do this. You shall not do that. And there was five laws pertaining to the relationship of God to the children of Israel or mankind. And five laws given, I believe, between man and man. Don't do this to your brother. And so we find here that these laws were given to them, and this was done before they could enter into the land of Canaan. Why? Because now they're going into the land of rest. What do people do when they got more time on their hands and they know what to do with? Misbehave. You know, idle hands of the devil's workshop. So if they couldn't behave themselves when they were wandering in the wilderness with God leading them with the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke all the time, what are they going to do in the land of promise? Get into mischief. And they're going to sin. So we'll lay the law down. You ever, if anybody watches the Discovery, I think it's National Geographic channel, the Dog Whisperer. You know what he tells people? Everybody there, if I can keep this straight, he says, you need to give your dog rules, boundaries, and limitations. This is a dog. The same can be said for man. Because without him, we're going to mess things up. Are we not? We have to this point, and it ain't getting any better. So what God did here is he gave them rules, boundaries, and limitations that they could live by. And you know what? They were pleased about it. They were happy about it when they got them. And God was pleased, as he said up here earlier, and it says, and the Lord heard the voice in the 28th chapter of the 20th verse of the 5th chapter, said, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto me. They have spoken, they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, can we as parents help our children have a longer and more prosperous life? It says here we can. But moving down into the 6th chapter, that was just a caveat to this. That was a freebie. Moving down to the 6th chapter, it says, now, these are the commandments, that the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. And he's talking about the land of Canaan. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I have commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. What does prolonged mean? We get the same amount of time in a day as we ever had, but the days can be prolonged, meaning that there's going to be greater numbers of them. If what? Obedience. Now, people look at that. This is a promise of God. This is a positive promise of God. Not a negative one. But you know what? Everybody says, you know, them commandments, you know, they're too restrictive. I think we ought to loosen those things up. And Brother Gordon's been bringing some thoughts about that recently, about how people want to loosen up the covenant. And let's not be so restrictive about drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff. Let's make it a little freer. I don't know what the Word of God says. He said, if you do my commandments, I'm going to give you some things. What is the one thing that none of us have or can ever recoup? Time. God will give us time. Now, it's the quality of time. He may give us time we don't really want if the quality of life is not good. So that's what David had to fear. When David heard his consequences, he said, the sword will not, Nathan said, the sword will never depart from your house. And Absalom chased him with a sword until he hung himself on a tree. And he lost another son because of the sins that he committed. The sword stays with us. The consequences for things we do stay with us. But there's a promise. If we do well, then good things happen to us, as it says here. And moving on, and not only that, it's extended to not only us, but it's extended to our sons. And our sons' sons. This is general generation perpetuity. That we can extend the blessings God's given us if we stay close to Him. He will give us salvation for our children and extend their life and bless them. But what do many of our parents do? They rebel. I've been on visitation. I took Brother Irv years ago. Brother Irv and I went on a visitation meeting to one of the members that was had left the church. And we went out, knocked on her door, and spent some time with him. And I said, David, I says, why are you doing this? Well, you know, I've been going there, and we've just decided we're going to do something different. And I said, David, what about your children? Don't you care about their soul, David? He stumbled a little bit. He didn't care about his children's souls. No, he didn't care. Never been back. His marriage dissolved. His children got married, and their marriages have dissolved. And that's the story of life. Now, we've experienced some deaths of younger men, younger people in our church. I'm not talking about 8-year-olds like my son was, but we've had some people who didn't live out to their life's expectancy because of what they did to some of the things we're going to talk about in just a minute, and I got to move on here. But anyway, we find here that we can prolong our life, as it says here in Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 3, we can prolong it, and it will be well with us, and you may increase mightily. It says it'll increase your numbers, your family will grow. It used to be that families, the number of kids you had was almost, I got 5 boys and 2 girls. Today, we have determined that we don't want big families. We don't want to give the Lord the power over, so we've gone the way of the world and made decisions about limiting our families and so forth. And what does that do to our churches? Used to be you'd have 5 kids in a family. People would be given 5-6 kids. You'd see them stacked in rows all along here. Now we got 2 kids, 1 kid. What's happening to our churches? Is our church perpetuity being damaged by this mentality of blending with the world? Birth control and stuff of that nature? I'm dealing with that now because I bought into that. Right after I did, one of my sons disappeared from this face of this earth. Is that what did it? I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's a serious deal to disregard God's will and word and make our own choices against God and for the world. It's a dangerous choice to make. So the answer to question one is, do parents have an impact on the number of days our children enjoy life on this earth? And it is directly related on their obedience to God's commandments. And yes, they do. If they disobey God's commandments, they can shorten their life like that. If they obey God's commandments, He'll extend it, prolong their life, and increase their numbers if they don't take birth control. You know, so that's just a little thing that came to mind while I was doing this. Now, next question is, can an individual do anything that will affect the length of time we have on this earth? Let's look at Deuteronomy 5:16 for just a moment. And this is one of the big 10, and it's the one really every child in this room. I'm a child. My parents are gone, and hopefully I lived up to the responsibilities that God gave me as a child to take care of my mom and dad until they passed away. But every child in this room better heed what this commandment is, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, it's talking to the children of Israel here, but this Ten Commandments is generation. The Ten Commandments is generational. Believe me, it's passed down. And because we become children of God, we are in God's family. We better heed the laws of the Old Testament. And listen, the statutes we live by in this country are based on the Ten Commandments. Don't let any of these politicians tell you that the Bible doesn't hold true, because if you kill somebody, they're going to try to put you in jail. You know, unless it's your unborn child. You know, and you better get better get permission for that, or they'll put you in jail if it's not with the government's consent. So they believe in that. If thou shalt not steal, if you steal something, and it's from a bank especially, the feds will come down and you're going to jail. See, every law we have is based on the Ten Commandments. And this is an important one. This one, you can disrespect your family and parents all you want. And a lot of our children today do. They diss them, and they do a lot of bad things to their parents, especially when they get older, when they can't defend themselves. But I've seen it happen with parents where they could defend themselves, but they weren't big enough to take care of their kids, you know, and they've mauled their parents or done something to them, or they're arrested all the time. There's one just in a newspaper the other day where this guy had his wife living in an apartment downstairs in squalor and wouldn't turn the heat on for her. He owned the apartment building she lived on. Is he honoring his mother by doing that? But I'm just saying here, honor thy mother and thy father, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. Can we prolong our days? That's the point of this lesson. Can we prolong them? Certainly we can. Because we can respect the people who brought us into this world, nurtured us, and got us to where we are today. Given they may not be good guys. I mean, I've known women who were married to alcoholics that told their kids, you respect your dad because of who he is. That's the way it used to be. Now today, they find every way they can to disrespect him and put him aside. Your dad was never any good, and he did this to us. I won't get into why they do it. But anyway, that's one, yes, we can prolong our days. That's one the answer to one of those questions. So we need to honor our fathers and mothers and understand that they may not be right now. My mother wasn't right for years, but I never disrespected her because her mind wasn't right. When she told me she was like her little, I didn't say, Mother, will you grow up? That was 60 years ago, 80 years ago. You were 6 years old. You're 87 now. That was 80 years ago. What are you back there for? I say, Mom, did you have a good time? Yeah. That's all that's important, Mom. You had a good time. And just understand it, love them, and continue to take care of them. Then we find over in Deuteronomy 11:18. Well, yeah, it starts in 11:18, I think. And I'll get to the New Testament here, believe me. I think 11, let me see, make sure that I got this, 11:18, and I got to go to 21. Yeah, okay, and I'm going to start at 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be a frontlet between your eyes, or a guard between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children. What's it saying? Teach your children. Listen to these commandments, children. I want to educate you on what God's will is for your life. Teach them to your children, speaking them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gate, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of the heaven upon the earth. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Land of milk and honey. That's what he promised them. He's talking about, they're talking about here, they're talking about the commandments of God. Teach your children these things. Teach them to respect you as your parents and so forth, and do that. So we find that it tells here that your days may be multiplied. Bigger. 2 times 2 is 4. You know, 4 times 4, 16. How much can we multiply them? By the amount we obey our Lord, by obey his commandments. All right. We're getting to the end here. We're going to turn. I'd like to have you turn your books over, Bibles over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians 6:1-3. This is probably the most abused law that we have in our society today, besides disrespecting our parents. And they're taught this in their schools. You don't have to listen to your parents if they take you to church. You don't have to listen to the rules. We'll tell you what you can do. And if you don't like it, you call the government, and we'll get a caseworker down there, and we'll put your mom and dad in jail. That's what they're taught in schools today. You don't have to listen to them. What's going to happen? If the parents didn't do the job when they were raising them in the first 2 or 3 years of their life, or let's say first 4 or 5 years of their life, in those years before the government gets a hold of your kids in schools today, if you haven't taught your kids what they need to know, you got a good chance of having it overthrown when it gets to the school system. And what it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents that aren't in the Lord are not going to obey their parents. If they're not saved and their parents aren't saved, they got no chance. Now, there are a few good, respectable people out there who have a good family unit, and that family unit's there because those people were committed to their relationship and to making sure that family, they were taught from the old school. They may not be saved, but they were taught the good fundamental things of keeping their family together, and that was a good, tight family unit. And if they're, and it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. All the rest of them have condemnation to them. Thou shalt not kill, thou go to jail. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's some other consequences for that. And it used to be that you'd go to jail in the United States. Of course, that's not really important anymore. Don't worry about that adultery thing. But the Lord doesn't forget anything. His judgments are pure. When we get to the judgment seat, believe me, there's an accounting to be made at the judgment seat. He doesn't forget anything. You have no defense against the court of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll stand there naked as a jaybird in a cold winter's day and take it. And if you're, you know, if you're lost, that is. If you're saved, there's certainly some blessings and things that you might lose, but you're not going to lose your life, your soul. I mean, the Lord promises us that, but those who are lost, when they get before the judgment seat, they can't escape any sin that they've ever done. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first pause. Yes, there's a plus in the Bible. It's a commandment, but it's a plus tied to it. You're going to be blessed because of this. It isn't a cursing. You're not going to go to jail because you honor your mother and dad. You're not going to be cast into hell because you honor your mother and dad. That's not going to be one of those bad things. It's a plus. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long, not in the land of Canaan, but on the earth. So there is some positive things. Yes, I believe, honestly, the conclusion of the whole matter is that God's word is full of positive promises as well as warnings when we fail to act according to the commandments he has set forth in his word. For every Brother Gordon's been great at teaching me this. For everything that's negative in the Bible that he says is going to happen to you, or positive that's going to happen to you, that same statement says, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you sin, you're going to be chastised for that sin. But if you don't sin, and you can put that sin off and say, Lord, I'm not going there, what's the opposite of that? Is it a neutral? Is it a nothing? No, it's a blessing. I'm going to bless you. But he says, I'll bless you with many days on this earth just for honoring your mother and dad. I'm going to prolong your days. That's a good one. And that's been a great blessing to me, because when I read the Bible now, I say, for every negative thing I read, there's a positive on the other side. For every positive thing I read, ooh, there's a negative there. I got to be cautious of that. A lot of us like to take this word and say, you know what? This, I don't really believe this anymore. And this isn't the guideline of my life, as battered and tattered as it is. You know, they say that, and the consequences are, I've had the privilege of being a member of this church from day one. I've known, at one time, I can't remember them all now, I've known everybody that ever entered through the doors of this church. I've had that privilege for over 50 years. I've seen those that walked out that door and turned against God, and I've seen their lives after they did that. and they became a shambles. Because they turned their back on God, he just withdrew, says, okay. Did they have an enjoyable life? Maybe. Did they experience all the positive things in life that they could afford to buy? Maybe. Was there negatives involved? I'm sure there were. I mean, you can't have your life evaporate, your family evaporate before you and say, gee, that was fun. Just doesn't happen. But that's what many people do. And that's just some of the small stuff. Drugs, alcohol, addictions of all kinds, whether they be prescription drugs or illicit drugs, death, early demise of people who should have lived a lot longer. We've experienced that recently and seen it happen. We've had some people, there just was no reason for them to die. Just gone. But if you looked at the history of their life, they didn't honor this book. It didn't happen instantly, but it took time. But eventually, their days were shortened because they didn't believe in honoring their parents, their mothers, and their dads. That was just one of them that I know of. Who knows what all the rest of them are? So, the warnings are there. We make choices every day that will affect how long God allows us to live. As I see it, our days are not fixed at birth, but the number varies based on the choices we make within the context of God's will for us. But it is obvious that obedience to God's commandment increases our days and the quality of life, and disobedience decreases our longevity. It is unfortunate that we lose sight of the power that God has over us and that we all too often force him. We actually force him by our choices to decrease our days rather than increase them. There's a lot of things, and I won't go into, there's just so many things that we have as members of this church or children of God that we can experience. They aren't the things of the world, but they're things that we can enjoy. We can get up in the morning. We don't have the pressure, the psychological burdens that living in the world has for us. We can enjoy the fact that we can take our burdens to the Lord. All we got to do is pray, and he is faithful and just to answer those prayers. And if we're in his will, there'll be positive answers. I'm not saying it's going to be a perfect world. I mean, we're all going to live with trials and tribulations, but on the whole, God will give us a good life. But if you go out into the world and seek the world's comforts and so forth, believe me, when they come down on you, the world does not care. It will eat you up and spit you out as nothing more than a pit out of a peach when they're done taking the good stuff off. So let's be conscious. I hope that this was a blessing to you because, yeah, we can help. We can extend our days. We can also decrease them. I believe the teachings of the Word of God is clear in this. He doesn't fix our days from the date of our birth. I mean, there's a framework there that he's working in, I believe. He knows those numbers. He probably knows what the amount of days he's going to give us before we ever get there, when we're that little baby in our mother and dad's arms. And when we grow up, he knows all about that stuff. He knows the end from the beginning. But it's how we take the Word of God and pay attention to it and implement it in our life and stay close to him, obeying his commandments, turning ourselves against sin when the opportunity arises, turning ourselves towards the things of righteousness. Those are all things that he takes into consideration as we live here. If we are a benefit, it's just no different than working at General Motors, what's left of it, right, Terry? If you are a good employee, they want to find a spot for you and you'll be there the day that you used to be able to be there till the day you retire. Or any place else. Let's don't use General Motors. It might be too close. But if I have a good employee, I want to keep that employee. If I have a bad one, what am I trying to do? Get rid of them. And I find that out on a daily performance, and that's exactly the same thing God does. If his children benefit him and reward him with faithfulness to his, he's going to reward them with longevity, and he wants to keep them around because they're a good influence. The minute they do what David did and turn nations against him, then there's a consequence to pay for it. So we have to be aware that we need to strive to make God pleased with us, our performance, and in return, he will give back to us. So at this time, we're going to...